Hi, I'm Soraya Mia, and this is Awani Review. On today's episode, we will be talking about a problem that we somehow have not seemed to find the solution to, plastic waste. Now, plastics are everywhere, and unfortunately, most of it end up nowhere, either in landfills, in the ocean, and studies also show that microplastics are found in human blood. But today, we are not going to dwell on the problem, but instead, we are going to be talking about innovation to sort of get a hold on the attitudes of consumers and producers towards plastic use in Malaysia. And on the show today, we have a very interesting personality who is the CFO and also the co-founder of eco-friendly startup Clean, Joey Azman. So Joey, thank you so much for being here today. I am very, very excited to be talking to you today. You have quite the fascinating profile. So you are a chartered accountant with over 18 years of experience, and half of it is in top management level. And so basically you're a finance guy who now plans or aims to innovate businesses through digital transformation. And you're now active in the startup community in Malaysia and environmental. So tell us, how did Clean start?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me, first and foremost. I think my journey was a bit interesting, starting with, I guess, trying to climb the corporate ladder in a more traditional way, you could say, as a chartered accountant. But I guess, for me, I always felt, when I was exposed to the startup world in 2015, it gave me that sort of sense of, passion or emotional connection to what I was trying to do with my career, and it just basically, I think after my last corporate job with Simon Darby, my partner, Dr. Nick, who was actually my chiropractor, and I hurt my back from a round of golf. So over 10 sessions, of him treating me, we started swapping ideas about what he was doing and what I was doing post Simon Darby. And to cut a long story short, Dr. Nick ran the Berlin Marathon in 2016, where he came across this reverse vending machine, and he thought that he could make a much smarter version when he came back. And so he was on that journey where he was trying to encourage kids and teach them the concept of circular economy, where basically he had like this 3D printing lab where he was producing like prosthetic limbs, and kids had to basically, in a way, to pay for it. Instead of giving it just for free, they just basically brought plastic bottles to his clinic, and because once they bring it, he then basically, ships off the prosthetic limb as his way of starting out as a CSR and teaching kids the value of plastic, and that's sort of how it got started. And yeah, and we decided to incorporate in 2019 with three other partners in this venture, and yeah, it's been quite a ride, with COVID and all, but alhamdulillah, we're still around. So
yeah, that's very interesting. Then you also mentioned about the circular economy, and that kind of runs in line with the Ministry of Environment and Water's sort of roadmap to phase out single-use plastics by 2030. So actually Clean is also part of the roadmap. So where do you actually see yourself in there? Like, what is the role of Clean in this phasing out the single-use plastics?
Yeah, so I think first of all, like, we were quite, touched when we saw a mention of Clean and our pilot with Shell Malaysia back then in rolling out a couple of reverse vending machines as a proof of concept. I guess to address the first part of your question is, the three R's when it comes to, recycling. You have reduce, reuse, and recycle. So we fall under, I guess, the third R, recycle. But obviously, the main purpose is always, or the main focus is always to reduce the use of plastic. And if you can't, then reuse as much as you can. And if you really can't, when you dispose of it, let's try and recycle it or dispose it in a very responsible way. But in terms of the roadmap, I think we've had several dialogues with CASA. You know, they've been big supporters of us, and recently in Dubai Expo, we also had a very good session with them in trying to basically share our views with what they're trying to do, which really is along the EPR, the Extended Producer Responsibility Framework. But what we are really creating at Clean is what I would call a digital CDS, a container deposit scheme, which we can discuss in a bit more detail about the difference a bit in terms of an EPR versus a CDS. But it's both trying to have the common objective of changing behaviors, but it's just about whose behavior are we really trying to change in a simple sense.
That's right. So let's get a little bit technical. The reverse vending machines, or the RVMs, right? How does it actually work in actually encouraging the reduction of plastic waste?
Yeah, so a reverse vending machine, as the name suggests, if you look at a typical vending machine, it usually dispenses delight, you know, your Coke cans or your Kit Kat, whatever goods that you can get from a vending machine. So a reverse vending machine is simply the reverse, where you put back the items inside the vending machine.
So any trash?
Not any. I mean, yes. I mean, that's it. But in our case, it's very specific containers that you could put inside a machine. So basically, you deposit back like the PET bottle or the aluminium cans, and you get clean points, which you can then be redeemed for various type of rewards. Which, yeah, we can go into more.
Does it also include glass?
So basically, our RVMs right now, we only accept back type 1 plastic, which is your PET. And we also accept back the aluminium cans, which really are those your beverage containers. Because those, for us, we feel is like the lowest hanging fruit. And those are usually the ones that you find in when you go to, you know, Bangkok or wherever beaches that we have, and it's just littered full of PET bottles and stuff. Yeah, so we focus on that. Glass, at the moment, doesn't collect, because it requires a different type of, I guess, solution and recycling process. Okay. And it's quite well taken care of in a way with you know, different industry players. We feel that we wanted to be in the, to start off with, we want to be in the plastic PET aluminium can space first.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about Clean is the proprietary software technology that we've developed through artificial intelligence of image recognition. So over time, we can learn to collect back type 2 plastics or type 5 plastics. So those are like, you know, your shampoo bottles, your detergents, so basically the 7 type of plastics, you know, but we're focused on type 1 and aluminium cans right now.
Got it. So where are they normally located? And also, who are the stakeholders actually involved in sort of this project with Clean?
Yeah, so location-wise, you know, we started with shopping malls. So actually, One Utama was our first rollout. It's a proof of concept to learn about our machine, how it operates in a live environment, what are the user behaviors and all that, right? So we started with shopping malls, because that's the highest, in a way, traffic footfall. Then we started going into petrol stations, so that's how we started with Shell, who, funnily enough, was one of my previous employers. So, you know, going back to Shell and telling them about this initiative. So essentially, it's if you think about like locations, it's always about convenience, mm-hmm. and it's also about footfall, right? Because we need to be realistic in terms of where Malaysia is in terms of its mindset, mm-hmm. and its mentality towards plastic, you know, because yes. Plastic in itself is not, I'd say, it's not a problem. It's how we dispose of it.
I get it. How we use it. And how.
Yeah.
We use it.
So for us, it's always about building awareness and education. So given where we are at in terms of that scale, being in a crowded sort of area gives it convenience. So supermarkets are another great location for our machines, because these days, you know, with all this Giants, Village Grocers all removing plastic bags, and you have to bring your thing. So what we see people do is they tend to bring their recyclables in a recycled bag, mm-hmm. that they're going to use to shop anyway. So they'll deposit, and then they'll go in and shop, and they'll buy more plastics, and then they'll bring it back, mm-hmm. and they get points, and then they can get discounts and grocery vouchers, which you can actually do that right now at Lotus stores, who is one of our partners. as well. Yeah.
Well, you were talking about mentality and sort of like, you know, culture and stuff. That brings me to the next question, actually, because in line with sort of our goal to essentially reduce the plastic waste in Malaysia, of course, it's also important when you want to perhaps introduce a policy, it's important to understand how the mentality works, how the people are, and we can't just like introduce a law and then expect people to, you know, just follow suit without the proper preparation and education. So Joey, you also travel a lot and you've lived about a third of your life overseas, so how can you actually compare the attitudes of Malaysians compared to other nations when it comes to plastic use?
Yeah, I mean, I never like to generalize per se, and for me, the way I see it in both countries, but obviously more in Malaysia, is like my first, I guess, distinction or lens when I compartmentalize recycling habits is, do you recycle or do you not? Right, that's the first sort of layer. Like, do you even care that you see a plastic bottle there, and, or do you actually, oh, I want to keep this and bring it, right? So that's the first level.
Yep.
So given our recycling rates compared to some of the countries that I either work for or worked in or live, you know, we are at, I mean, CASA shared a number about 31%, you know, in terms of a recycling rate. You look at countries like Germany, who's, you know, at 98.5%, even Australia is a lot higher, where I spent most of my adolescent years. Those recycling rates are way higher. So just given those macro data, yeah, you could see that the recycling habits, that my first limb of distinction, more of them are into recycling or knowing what to do. You know, we have those, you know, kertas, bottle, paper, but no one ever thought about it. Or if they see it, they just use it as a tong sampah, right?
Yes.
So to me, but then I also seen, you know, Malaysians who do the right thing, right?
Yeah.
And we've seen the numbers through our dashboard on the recycling habits of Malaysians that fall under the basket of who recycles, and they do the right thing. So I'm never one to like
generalize
or, you know, talk. I always see things as, I guess the glass is half full. I like to focus on the bucket of people who recycle, although it's only about 31% based on that. But let's focus on that 31% that we go to 50% in 5 years' time, to 70%, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, that has to be the aspiration, and it starts with education, incentives.
Absolutely.
And focusing on, I guess, the next generation, which is the kids.
Okay, so I want to touch a little bit about, like, you know, legislation and you spoke about the Extended Producer Responsibility, or the EPR scheme.
Yeah.
According to my understanding, it's giving sort of the producers the responsibility to do what they can do with the products at the end of their life cycle. But then there's also other sort of schemes that are not very popular to Malaysia, such as the Container Deposit Scheme, or the CDS. I'm quite interested to know more about this. Could you explain a little on that?
Yeah. So it's essentially, I mean, if I to put it as, I guess, in a most simplistic way, like an EPR, as the name suggests, you know, it's more like, in a way, you could call it tax, or you could call it like, you know, a fine, not a fine, but like, it's basically, you know, pushes the responsibility onto the manufacturer of the bottles. Where are these bottles coming from? It's being produced in the factories of, you know, all these big brands like Coca-Cola,
yep,
FN, and all that, right? So an EPR focuses on trying to change the behavior of the producers of the bottle, where it's coming from, right?
Okay.
So it can be inflationary, because if I say, for example, decide to create a policy that I say, for every bottle that you produce, I'm going to charge you 10 cents, for example.
Okay.
So that 10 cents most likely, you know, will increase their production cost by 10 cents. Mm-hmm. And the selling price may
increase
as well. Okay. Right? I mean, if I was in that business, oh, I don't want to bear this. I'm going to try and push this to the end customer.
Understood.
So you and I, when we buy it, you know, we'll that. So that's, mm-hmm. in a way, in a most simplistic way, sort of like an EPR. But obviously, it's got a lot of other mechanisms and it's still being developed in terms of the framework, right?
Yeah.
A container deposit scheme, on the other hand, in the most simplest way, it's, as the name suggests, it's a deposit. So meaning, like, if I go to like a My News or 7-Eleven or mm-hmm. what, and I buy, say, a 100-plus bottle, and it's, say, 2 ringgit normally, mm-hmm. but say with the introduction of a CDS, I'll put a deposit on top of that. So instead of paying 2 ringgit, say I'll pay 2 ringgit 10 cents. Okay. But the difference between like those two sort of models is that a CDS is I'd say non-inflationary, because if I bring back that bottle to a recycling licensed depot, mm-hmm. and I take yours as well with me, I say, hey, Sarah, give me yours.
So
and
you can also get the...
Yes, so then I get back the deposit. Uh-huh. Whereas like if I was under an EPR, that 10 cents that I paid, that I didn't know I paid actually for that kind of thing,
yeah,
I will never get it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about like a fisherman on a boat who's fishing and sees like all these plastic floating, right? Mm-hmm. And under an EPR system, he's not incentivized to collect those bottles because...
Yes, he wouldn't get anything out of that.
Yes, yeah. The value of a plastic PET in Malaysia is around, 70 cents per kilogram in terms of, you know, it can be higher in different forms, but that's essentially about half a cent. Mm-hmm. But under a CDS, typically, anywhere in the world is normally about 10 cents of the local currency, right? Oh. So the behavioral change that we would see is like, are you trying to target like the producers, or are you trying to target a bigger segment, which is the consumers?
Mm-hmm.
And what data has shown is that countries with CDS, the lowest recycling rate is 80%.
Oh.
Germany is at 98.5%. Lithuania, when they introduced the CDS, went from 34 to 92% in 2 years.
2 years.
In 2 years. But obviously, amazing. You know, demographics, microfinance is different. But to me, it's like, that's a proven model.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes in our discussions, you know, with the various stakeholders, is can we do a hybrid between an EPR and a CDS, perhaps?
Like, so how would a hybrid work?
I mean, in my own personal view, right?
Of course, you have to involve clean.
Yes. But in terms of my view is that you need funds to kickstart a CDS, right? The infrastructure, the platform has to be built. So that's in a way what the clean platform is, right?
Yeah.
But to scale it nationwide obviously requires a significant amount of investment. And how I see it is that a country with CDS, right? A reverse vending machine is just one collection method. There's so many other curbside collection, recycling depots and all this that is involved. Because at the end of the day, a reverse vending machine has its limits in terms of capacity and how much you can collect.
Right. Like at each station.
At each machine, right? Yeah. So that's not going to work in terms of to really increase your recycling rate. So it's going to require a collaborative nationwide effort on having recycling depots, supermarkets having turning shipping containers into reverse vending, old shipping containers into reverse vending mm-hmm. machines and things like that, right? As long as it's convenient as well for consumers to do it. So for me, it's like when you start sort of say your CDS with say an EPR. So if I try to be a bit more granular in the approach, like I would think like I would have data around how many bottles were produced in Malaysia by F&N, Coke, Nestle, and all that, right? It's their sales report, right? Essentially, as the government, you can ask, what's your production volume? That's easily available.
Mm-hmm.
From then, you can then depend, okay, based on the production that you produce, this is the amount that you need to contribute to kickstart the CDS, right?
Mm-hmm.
You produce 10 million, okay, this is your company. You produce 1 million, you're going to contribute, say, one-tenth of that amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's quite an equitable way so that the government doesn't necessarily have to come up with their own sort of, I guess, funds, or they need to put in something at the end of the day, but still it needs to be funded by the people who are creating the problem in the first place, right?
Yes.
So now when you have that fund, you can now kickstart in terms of building the infrastructure and all that, right? And from there, basically, if you think about, like, say, we produce like 1 billion bottles, and at 10 cents per bottle, that's like 100 million.
Okay.
That's sitting in a fund. Mm-hmm. But if our recycling rate is only at 30%, only 30 million is paid out back to the consumers like you and me, mm-hmm. because it needs to be fund that way, right?
Yes.
You pay the deposit sits somewhere, but because we've sold, like I said, assume it's like 1 billion, so you have 100 million. 30 million is paid back, but you have 70 million left. So that 70 million is what is used to fund the whole operations, because you need to work with collection partners, you need to work with maintenance, operations, and all that, right? So I feel in a way that's how, like, in terms of, in a very simplistic, yeah. high-level way, that's how you could potentially do it. But again, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, because countries have done it, like Australia, like Victoria, Melbourne, where
what's
I spent a lot.
What's the recycling rate since the sort of scheme?
I mean, Melbourne, Victoria is the last state in Australia to introduce it. So,
okay.
So I think 2023 mm-hmm. or 2024 is when it'll kickstart.
Yeah.
So, and we've been in talks with Anson Young and other parties in Australia just to understand. Because different countries have different ways of carrying out,
yes.
their CDS. So it's not hard to just, hey guys, can we understand
Learn.
How you guys did it? And
yeah.
and we've been doing that process as well. So and we've tried
Great.
To connect, obviously, you know, represent for CASA and all that kind of thing in our past discussions. But I mean, I'm not an expert in terms of policy making and all that. I'm sure there are a lot of complicated, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get
just now on education, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, how do you actually plan to raise awareness to both the consumers and the producers in Malaysia in terms of, you know, going towards these sort of policies,
yeah.
in the country?
I think awareness, like, I mean, if you see things that go viral in Malaysia, like, you would tend to try and replicate that model, but except that, you know. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, you have your KOLs, your TikTok videos, or, you know, if you look at your Facebook feed, or kind of, you know, you all need to see, like, the top news, right? Anything that goes sort of viral is something a bit. So if you adopt that kind of mindset, so if you think about that, like, working in you can never work in silos, right? So meaning,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
We want to work with people. Companies that have a big digital community following.
Mm-hmm.
We want to work with the local celebs that are really into, recycling or doing good for the environment and all that, right? But
yeah.
at the end of the day, the content that you create, so for me, it's like, how do we make, like, recycling a lifestyle, like a cool concept?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are clean, we have ideas, but we want to work with, obviously, creative agencies and all that, like, to come out with, like, really, like, you know, interesting content about, say, the life journey of a bottle. So imagine mm-hmm. filming, like, you know, us buying a drink, a Coke or something from the vending machine, 100 plus, you drink it, and then you put it into our machine, and it follows the journey of that bottle,
mm-hmm.
Just to show, like, where does it go? Because at the end of the day, like, for me, I found out a lot of it by being involved in Clean, like, 3 years ago.
Right.
But before that, you know, I was just, like, most, the 66% of Malaysians that didn't really recycle or didn't really care about where,
I'm guilty as well. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
yeah.
all are.
So to me, it's trying to work and creating really cool content.
Yeah, content creating, and especially, like, nowadays, following sort of the trend. I
yeah,
like that, yeah.
Yeah, but if I try to give specific examples, I'm a huge sports fan, right? So
yeah.
So if I thought, like, for example, like, with the introduction of CDSA, for example, in Australia, like, I would use my machine, like, say, at the Australian Open, tennis.
Mm.
Like, I see all the players drinking, like, their Evian mineral water bottle, and then they just, like, at the end, they just give it to the ball boy to, like, throw, right?
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if you have, like, a really cool reverse vending machine right smack in center court for them to put, and just to launch the CDS, right?
Yeah.
So if you think about Malaysia, what do we have? Like, 1FC, for example. Football, right? Stadiums are a perfect place, but again, you know, vandalism and all that. I'm also obviously scared about my machines, but
yeah.
by then they, we also have a mobile version that you could park at the stadiums, and people would just put the bottles in order to get discounts off tickets and all that, right?
Yeah.
So you're right, sporting events, badminton events, stadiums and all that are great places to increase sort of the awareness and education, because getting free tickets, like, you know, trying to get Malaysia Airlines or AirAsia to sponsor flight tickets in the name of recycling, because with the amount of data that we know, like who are the top recyclers, you can run so many type of campaigns to offer, like, okay, top recycler of the month, you get a free ticket to wherever you want, or, you know, things like that, right? So there's a lot of gamification that can be done, but we need to start somewhere.
Yes.
And hence, you know, rolling out these next 30 units with DHL Express Malaysia would be our, that gives us that kickstart to bring on all these brands and ideas to life. And inshallah, yeah, we'll see it happening like this year.
All right, well, Joey, all the best with everything. And I hope that our discussion was sort of enlightful for everyone out there who perhaps, you know, one step forward to achieving our goal and reducing plastic waste. So that is all for the episode today on Awani Review. My name is Soraya Mia. Thank you so much for watching, and I hope you continue to watch us on Astro Awani. Don't forget to also follow us on all of our social media pages. And yeah, that's all for now. Signing out. Bye.